of the program, we're going to talk about that Notre Dame thing, especially Notre Dame families. That Notre Dame now, the kids are not going to be able to actually go to class in class at Notre Dame for at least a couple of weeks. What do you do with the football team? What do you do with the football team? A lot of Notre Dame families here in Chicago will answer that question. That is coming your way. Plus, new and improved news or ruse. This is not a ruse right here. This is Dr. J, John Najarian. He is one of my favorites, co-founder of Market Rebels and analyst for CNBC. Thank you very much, as always, Dr. J, for being with us. Can you explain something to me? How is it possible, given the fact that we are in a rough stretch here, not from anybody's fault, I agree when people say that, but we are in an economic rough stretch, and the stock market continues. Now the S&P hit new highs. It was the shortest bear market in U.S. history. What's happening there?
Exactly. Well, shortest bear market also was 1985-86, right? Sorry, Ro. Mm-hmm. But it was. I mean, we should have had a decade-long dominance there, but the McCaskies ruined that. As far as who ruined this bear market, I think...
Oh, my God. Yes, you know what? Just for a second there, I'm like, what is the hell is he talking about? There you go. All right, fine. I would like to say, do not know this, but Dr. J actually did play. How many preseason games for the Chicago Bears?
Four preseason
games. So you're a Chicago Bear, so you get to make that joke. All right. Can you explain the stock market?
Yes. The reason it was the shortest bear market in history was it's several reasons. One, the Fed, they took us to zero and beyond, because technically the real yield, when you take into account inflation, for the 10-year bond, we're solidly negative over 1% right now. In other words, if you give the government money, the government's borrowing money for 10 years, you get interest, and that interest is paid at about roughly 0.5%, let's say. Okay. But because inflation's running over that, your real yield on that is you're losing money giving it to the government. We're not at negative interest rates yet, but effectively you're getting a negative yield. So that's one reason, is because the Fed dropped rates so low that people had nowhere else to go. The second reason is
but the stock market, you mean nowhere else to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So,
other banks, other central banks, you know, the ECB, Japan had been negative for, you know, decades. But virtually every other central bank or authority around the world had cut their rates to zero or real yields substantially into the negative territory. And the stock market is really, you know, if we want to measure it in terms of the S&P 500, which is what most of us are using, mm-hmm. you and I have discussed before, this is a capitalization-weighted index. And, you know, you've got Apple in there, among others, and all the big tech stocks are the biggest capitalized stocks on Earth. So, you know, when they move 30%, 40%, 50% off of that bottom that we hit back March 17th or 18th, that's why, Ro, we're seeing this dramatic turnaround, low interest rates and capitalization-weighted market combined for that. There are other factors, but those are the two main ones.
So what does that mean for investors? And if you are an investor and you got a question for John Najarian, 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. What does that mean in the short term for investors? Is this a safe place to be?
I think so. I mean, we still have 3,500 for a target for the S&P this year and 3,800 next year. And we base that almost solely, Ro, on the idea that they're going to continue to keep interest rates low forever in my terms of forever means probably till 2022 at least before the Fed moves on interest rates.
Yeah.
And that is forever in the markets. I mean, you know, in a high-frequency world, 2 years into the future, that's forever.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be all the way through 2021, 2022, before our Federal Reserve actually takes their foot off the gas.
And they're bailing things out. Money is in the marketplace. Why isn't there greater inflation?
Well, that is a great question. I think partially because we had that dramatic and idiotic, great for us, for you and me, but idiotic, move by MBS, the Mohammed bin Salman, the head of Saudi Arabia, decided as the crap was really hitting the fan in terms of the markets, he decided that if Russia wasn't going to play ball with OPEC, he would screw them, and he ended up screwing himself, of course, because Vladimir Putin really doesn't have to pay 25,000-50,000 a year to his subjects, but the head of Saudi Arabia does have to do that. Otherwise, he'll be dead. So they've come to basically depend on $70 a barrel oil when he did that and took oil actually to negative price very, very briefly. Less than 24 hours, it went to negative. And then they finally decided, okay, that's enough. But that's another reason that inflation just could not pick up, because demand was limited, of course.
Because energy would feed inflation.
Jets weren't flying.
If energy becomes expensive, that becomes a trigger point. That's the mud that slides down the hill that creates the inflation. Well, stay right there one second with me. Dr. Jay, okay. John Najarian is with us. Your phone call, 312-981-7200. If you got questions about the markets, you got questions about particular stocks. Dr. Jay is not shy about that. You know, there are a lot of guests who come in the room and go, well, you know, I can't really say this about that, but I can say this. You know, they don't want to take a position. Dr. J will take a position for you. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. But first, here is Mary Vandeveld, traffic and weather.
Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Ginger's traffic reports weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
God, that was a good read, Kevin. Very professional.
Put a lot of effort into that one.
Dr. J. John Najarian is also a broadcaster. He agrees with me in an amazing read of that promo. Don't you?
That was.
Yeah, that's truly. There you go. Endorsed. Okay, let's get to the phones. 312-9170-200. Dr. J, he's one of those guys. You see him on the CNBC, co-founder of Market Rebels here in Chicago, amongst many other things, as he has been a major figure in the financial world here in Chicago for the last, many decades. Let's not talk about it. This is a great question that we've got here from Al. Al, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you. Yeah, I was just wondering, I own some stocks from China, primarily Alibaba, and I was wondering how safe those are to hang on to them, especially with what's going on with President Trump and some of the warnings that he's given China.
Yeah. That's an excellent question, and that also dovetails into this $2 trillion capitalization of now the stock worth of Apple. Same thing, they've got such Chinese exposure. How does that work? But let's start with the question about Chinese stocks, specifically Alibaba. Dr. John Najarian, what are your thoughts?
Well, I like Baba, and it's certainly outperforming the market this year. I think Al's question is probably tied to the idea that certain stocks from China that don't adhere to the listing policies of the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange, because many of these companies don't, and they elect not to because it's more expensive to file quarterly. Some of the other disclosures they have to make make it such that they choose not to, and we've let them get away with it, you know, for decades, basically, right now. But on the other hand, Alibaba is really pretty close to the Amazon of China. And given that there are, 1.3 billion people over there, and that Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba, has done so well building this company, it's not surprising that it's up almost 23% this year versus the market. And even when it dipped, it only dipped, I think, about 10%, Alibaba, that is. The market, of course, dipped much more than that, more like 30%. So it seems to be less volatile than the market and outperforming the market. So I don't see a reason that this Chinese stock should be one that you avoid. I would hold on to it.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Sure thing, sir.
Now, well, let's talk
By the
about...
way, Ro.
Yeah.
when you mention Apple, I just want to throw this one out because people hear, oh, it's $2 trillion and it doubled in a matter of a couple years from $1 trillion when they said, oh, that's the law of large numbers means it can't get bigger, and that was wrong. But when you look at what they bring in as far as sales, they've been north of $200 billion per quarter, I'll give you annual numbers. 2016, $200 billion, not per quarter, I'm sorry. 2017, $230 billion. Mm-hmm. 2018, $265 billion, and so forth. And earnings or bottom line number of like $55 billion, that's why it's worth $1 trillion, because they just print money. And when they borrow money, they practically borrow it at the same rate the United States does. So they are a massive company with a lot of products that we all bought more of, many of us anyway, yeah, during the lockdown. And they do an awful lot of things right. And they're about to come out with the killer product, this 5G iPhone, the iPhone 12. So those are just a couple reasons why I think that's the one to watch.
They do have exposure in China in terms of their manufacturing, and that's a big part of, you know, where their profit, where their margins come from. If they had to move, if they had to get out of the Chinese marketplace for labor, would they have to get out of the Chinese marketplace for selling? Probably. And then where are they? I mean, it's the question is not even about the large numbers, because, you know, trillion, that is a big number. There is no question about that. $2 trillion's, you know, twice as big as that. Let me just give people, I love the statistics before you answer the question. 1 million, okay. 1 million seconds is equal to 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. 1 trillion seconds is 31,000 years. So you just have to just think about it in those terms. So when you're talking about, you know, being worth $1 trillion or $2 trillion, that is those are gigantic numbers. Now in China, if you get out, how do you stay at that level if we start separating economics here and go into a cold economic war?
It's a good point, of course, and a good question. The answer is that if China was restricted both from production and or from sales to Apple to the Chinese, and Apple buying products, mm-hmm, assembled in China by the Chinese, it would affect them. And there's no doubt that the stock would probably have, my guess, row from this level, 20% correction or so, if that were to happen. Now, they also employ a million people, basically. I mean, it's a crazy number when you think of, because not just Foxconn, it's all the other manufacturers in China, mm-hmm, that make little pieces that go into the iPhone. People like Corning domestically that make the Gorilla Glass on the iPhone, and they just came out with a new version of that, by the way. But those companies, there are many of them here in the U.S. as well. But a lot of them outsource the actual production to places like Vietnam and China. Anyway, if you did restrict both access to China and for production in China, I would say Apple would make that correction that so many people have been waiting for.
Okay. Peggy, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Peggy, talking to Dr. John Najarian. Dr. J.
Thank you. Hi, I belong to an investment club. Q2 of 2019, we invested in two different cannabis stocks, regretfully. Last night at our meeting, we voted to just take our losses and move on. So question one is that a good idea? And secondly, we took what we got from our sale and put it into Activision, which has been a very good stock for us.
Okay. Well, let's start with marijuana. Let's go with that, because there was the green wave last year. People thought, oh, this is going to be big with the Canadian companies and then U.S. companies. Again, you can't really have U.S. domestic stocks yet, because until the federal government starts to allow for that massive, that like credit card and bank-to-bank transaction, that marijuana still cannot, you know, it's still, everything is within a state. It's almost back to like 1860 when you think about how we're managing this particular growth of this commodity. I think that's what's held it back. But you see, Dr. J, you see what incredible business, land office business, these dispensaries are doing.
Yes, sir. But unfortunately, my guess is that she didn't really have access to or didn't invest in the distribution. Most investors got most excited, Ro, by the idea that companies like Trulieve or Tilray or Canopy Growth that got investment from Constellation Brands.
Right.
Those companies are the production of marijuana, and even if they're multi-state operators, they call them MSOs. And there are many of those. Most of those I just named are exactly that. But the real profit is in the distribution, like you say, the dispensaries, not in the production. And that will be, unfortunately, continuing, I think, for a while. As good as it is, and as many maladies as it can positively impact, like PTSD, not just getting people as on the recreational side, but
right.
PTSD and a lot of other things, especially with the way our brains are wired.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that. But is Peggy, is that a good move by our investment club or not?
It was a brilliant move.
Okay. Look at
it
that,
was a brilliant
Peggy.
Move, not only to dump out, but the Activision trade. I mean, gaming is a $250 billion business. It's bigger than Hollywood, Ro. And it's all those, it's not just Fortnite. It's all the other, you know, World of Warcraft and
it's,
you know, Grand
meeting
Theft
the market,
Auto, all of that stuff.
And it's meeting the way that we're living now. We're living,
yes, sir,
you know, internally, and some of this is not going to change. Some of this is going to be generational now. So, yeah, you know what? I applaud you and the very other brilliant humans, part of your investment club, Peggy. We salute you.
Thanks, Ro. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Yep, that was a great move.
All right. Let's John, I'm trying to get you in here before. We're so tight on time. But really quickly, your question is on Home Depot. Is that right? Is Home Depot?
Yeah, any more upside on that? It's really run up the last 6 months. What do you think?
Yeah.
Or is everyone done with their home improvement projects?
You know, when you look at the one versus the other, John, when you look at Home Depot versus Lowe's, Lowe's has outperformed Home Depot over the last quarter, and that's because people had enough time on their hands that they shopped around rather than just buying at Home Depot. It's a great company. I think it'll continue to do really well, especially with the, you know, depending how long the shutdown or at least the stay-at-home, work-from-home crowd continues to do that. So I happen to prefer Lowe's over Home Depot, but they end up coming back together usually every 6 months or so. So the outperformance by Lowe's might mean it's time to buy Home Depot and get out of Lowe's.
All right. Dr. J, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much. Market Rebels.
Love you.
Love
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Ro.
Thank you, my brother. All right, we got the News or Ruse, the brand new, better version of News or Ruse, no matter what anybody tells you. This is better. Coming your way after the real news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right now.